Certainly thankful to be here again this morning. And just can't hardly imagine the hospitality we've received since we got here. It's been amazing. I noticed the clock is indeed hanging on the back wall. Sure it was. I just don't know what to think of such a congregation. I don't want to get back home to Arkansas. If Brother Harold Stumbo finds that out, I'm in big trouble. But I do greet you this morning, and I thank you for the opportunity to speak to you again. I pray God will pour out his blessings upon us. This morning I want to speak to you again on some things that our Lord taught during his personal ministry. And I do believe we should be keenly interested in learning what the Lord taught. In fact, I think we should teach what he taught. Whatever he taught, we better be teaching it. Don't you all agree with that? I figure the Lord knew what he was talking about. What do you think? And, you know, people are going to accuse you sometimes maybe not knowing what you're talking about. Did you know that? If you believe certain things that are taught in the Bible, people are going to look at you over the tops of their glasses. You know? I'll give you a specific example. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I want to mention two things here briefly that I don't want to address in depth. But briefly, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ taught explicitly the doctrine of creation. Didn't he? Jesus Christ went around teaching the Genesis account. Apparently Christ believed the Genesis account of creation. What a weirdy. You know, if you believe in the Genesis account of creation in the year 2008, you're a weirdy. Did you know that? And in fact, if you'll take the time to do the research and look at some of those sure enough scientific information, you'll find out that all of the actual scientific data will support and be in harmony with the Genesis account of creation. The earth is not a bazillion years old. I mean, I could go into a lot of scientific actual reasons why that is so. You may depend on the Genesis account of creation. Jesus Christ taught it. He believed it just as it is written in the book of Moses. Now, I had a fellow, you know, there's a lot in the news media today about polygamy, isn't there? A lot going on about polygamy. Well, I need you to pray for me. I sure do. I had a gentleman ask me, how do we know that's not right? I said, creation. That's how we know what the Bible said. God made Adam, and he didn't make him four wives. Did he? I mean, hey, you know, he made him one wife. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you right now, I brag on my wife all the time. I don't believe men ought to give their wives down the road. You men, don't you be doing that. Hold your wife up. Amen. Give her glory, so to speak. I brag on my wife all the time. One of the highest compliments I've ever been paid in my life is my students saying, I sure hope I find a man like you that loves his wife. I want to know I love my wife. Other than eternal life, the greatest blessing I ever got is a faithful companion. But when God put Adam to sleep, he didn't make four wives. He made one. Yeah. And I believe the Bible account of creation just like it's written. I believe God created the heaven and the earth, and Jesus Christ taught the same thing. He also taught, Jesus Christ, apparently, from his teachings in the Gospels, believed in the flood. He believed in a worldwide flood. And he believed and taught that the world that now is not the same as the world that was before the flood. Now you think about all that, and I've just told you in general enough to keep you thinking the rest of your life. And studying and learning, and I'm serious. And learning more and more about what the Bible says about these things, and actually about the evidence that's in the actual world to support these things. Another thing Jesus Christ apparently believed, which is most astonishing, he taught this in his own ministry. He believed in the historical accuracy of the account of Jonah. Wow! A man swallowed by a whale and lived to tell of it. Do you realize what a miracle that is, that he was in the belly of that whale or fish 3 days and he wasn't digested? Jesus Christ taught that. So if you believe it, I want you to, if you believe in creation, I want you to know you're in good company, even if people look at you over the tops of their glasses. And I'll tell you something else Jesus Christ taught. He taught the inerrancy, infallibility of Scripture. Yes, he did. He himself said in his own ministry, the Scripture cannot be broken. Now, I'm lifting that out of the context, but that's what he said. The Scripture cannot be broken, and that means the Scriptures cannot be proven wrong. They cannot be, they are not contradictory. There's no mistake in Scripture. And when Jesus Christ held up the book of Isaiah one time, and he opened the book and he read a certain passage in there, you know, where it said, the Spirit of the Lord hath anointed me to preach the gospel, and so forth and so on, and then he put the book down and said, this day is the Scripture fulfilled in your ears. Did you know Jesus Christ called that text Scripture? Now, I want to try to impress upon you before I get to my real subject this morning the weight of that, because Scripture, according to Jesus Christ's own definition, is infallible, inerrant. And when Jesus said that, y'all, he was not looking at an original copy. He was not looking at an autographed copy of Isaiah. He was looking at a copy of 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 a copy. And he believed it was inerrant anyway. It takes some faith to believe you have the Word of God. I want you to know, with all I have to believe in, with all I have to believe in, as strongly as I believe I'm Gary Harvey, I believe this is the Word of God. And I believe it's in English. Your KJV, you can depend on it. It is the Word of God. There's no mistake in this Bible. People have to, you know, the mistake is the way we look at it, the way we understand it, the way we interpret it. I'm also going to tell you there are lots of things in this Bible I don't have a clue about. I mean, I don't understand it all. Thank you, Brother Shannon. I mean, I don't understand it all. Let me tell you, no man understands it all. No group of men understands it all. And in fact, not all the men that have ever lived together understand it all. And part of the reason why this book's about God, it's written by God, it's about God. And you can't understand all there is to know about God. His ways are higher than ours. His ways are past finding out. Aren't you glad? I tell you right now, if you can understand all about God, you quit worshiping Him. He's not infinite. This is the only book I know. I've read a lot of books. I told you that last night, didn't I? I've read a lot of books. And as I've taught books, I've read a lot of books many times. And you finally get to where you know pretty much everything that's in a book. I do. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying I've read them. Well, this book, I don't care how many times you read this book, you'll never get to the bottom of it. This is the only book I know of in the universe that has infinite meaning. The Bible has infinite meaning. That's not an infinite book. You can haul it around. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? You got a little Bible, you can keep it in your pocket. It has infinite meaning. There's no bottom to the depth of meaning that's in the Word of God, because it's about God. I pray, but what a blessing it is to have a Bible. Okay, so Jesus Christ taught the inerrancy of Scripture, and I believe we ought to be standing for the inerrancy of Scripture in 2008 and say, tell everybody the King James Version of the Bible is the Word of God in English. And, you know, let me give you one quick example here, and I've got to hurry to get to my actual subject. They're perverting the Scriptures. Your New King James Version, throw it out. Your NIV, throw it out. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The modern versions change that to read thusly: God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. Now just, I want that to sink in. They think, no, I don't know what they think. They say that makes it easier to understand. I'm telling you, that changes the meaning.
That's right.
If Jesus Christ is the one and only Son of God, you're not one.
Right.
He's not the one and only Son.
That's right.
God has a huge family out of every tribe, kindred, tongue, and family under heaven. But y'all, He is the only begotten Son. He's the only one that was begotten of Holy Spirit God in the womb of a woman. That's what that means. Why change it? Let's just preach it. I'll give you one more. 1 Corinthians 1:18. And my goodness, I didn't need to spend all this time. It's already, look, the clock is moving. You know, I mean, it's going. Y'all on this clock. I can't believe y'all. What a congregation. 1 Corinthians 1:18. I'll tell you right now, let me tell you something before I read 1 Corinthians 1:18. The congregation is, the congregation is 85% of the preaching service, and don't you ever forget it. You know what the reason why God gives men liberty to preach here? Because you're a good congregation. That's why. An attentive congregation will just draw the preaching out of a man. All right, 1 Corinthians 1:18. Well, there it went. Well, I know where it is in the Bible, though. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Here's what the Bible says. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The modern perversions say, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are being saved. Let that soak in on your cognizance now. The Bible says, unto us which are saved, and they're trying to tell us, are being saved, and that is a verb tense change and has a powerful significance. If that's true, you're not saved yet. You're just in the process of getting saved. I'm telling you, the gospel is to people that are born of God. People that have eternal life. They're the only ones that can believe the gospel or understand it anyway.
Amen.
So let's leave 1 Corinthians 1:18 alone, what he said.
Amen.
Let's just preach it. Let's believe it.
Amen.
So Jesus Christ preached the doctrine of creation. He preached the doctrine of the infallibility, inerrancy of Scripture. And that's going to, you're going to have some faith to believe that. You're going to have some strong faith in God that He intended for His people to have His Word. And you have it. What a tremendous thing it is. But what I want to speak to you about now that I've used 20 minutes, I want to try to speak to you. Bless your soul. I want you to know I love you too. I want you to know I love you. And I trust I love the Lord and I trust I love His Word. I want to speak to you about what Jesus Christ taught. Jesus Christ taught a discriminating God. Jesus Christ taught a discriminating God. Now the word discrimination gets you in trouble these days, doesn't it? It's a crazy mixed up world, and you just ask different people what the word discrimination means, you're going to get lots of different definitions. Who knows what it means in the world we live in today? But I'm telling you, Jesus Christ taught a God that is discriminating. He taught a sovereign God. Jesus taught a sovereign God. He taught an electing God. He taught a God that makes decisions. You don't want a God that can't make a decision. Do you? I'm asking, have you ever had trouble making a decision? I bet you have. Had trouble at some time in your life making a decision, needed to make a decision. Right? Have one before you had trouble making it. Aren't you glad God didn't like that? God can make decisions. God has made decisions. God does things. Aren't you glad that God's like that? Oh man, a sovereign holy God. By the way, that an old pagan king one time said, works his will among the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And that wasn't Jude that said that. That wasn't an Old Testament prophet that said that. That's a pagan king. Y'all know who I'm talking about? A pagan king that had gone completely out of his ever-loving mind and spent 7 years in the pasture eating grass like an ox. Naked as a jaybird, and his hair grew like bird's feathers, and his fingernails like bird's claws. And when he finally woke up, he made this wonderful statement concerning the sovereignty of God. He worketh his will among the armies of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand, or say unto him, what doest thou? Old Nebuchadnezzar said that after he got his mind back. Jesus Christ taught a God like that. He taught a discriminating God. Now, there are two errors that people, the theologians come to when it comes to teaching a discriminating God. Two errors that are on either side of the ditch. That are in ditches. On either side of the road is what I meant to say. Oh my goodness. You know, they're in ditches on either side of the middle ground, which is where we need to be concerning this doctrine. Here are the two errors. One of them, many well-meaning people who will reject the sovereignty of God in eternal matters don't have any problem accepting the sovereignty of God in timely matters. That is a mistake. In other words, people who will not confess that God chooses people for heaven and immortal glory like He did before the foundation of the world according to Ephesians 1 and 4. Right? Y'all believe Ephesians 1 and 4? Boy, I love Ephesians. I spent 2.5 years preaching on Ephesians. 2.5 years. We had a young man in our church. He started calling our church Ephesians, Primitive Baptist Church. I hadn't been in Ephesians so long. According as He hath chosen us. Isn't it great? In Him. God chose you in Christ. When? Before the foundation of the world. Why? That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Did that say He predestinated you to join the church? 1,000 times no. But He did predestinate you unto the adoption of children. Now if you're going to join the church, you're going to have to make up your mind and get her done.
That's right.
And if you haven't, do it!
Amen.
I tell you right now, it's a great life living in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In fact, I don't know how people survive without it. I frankly don't understand it. Getting through life's hard enough anyway. And how do they do it without the fellowship and the strength of the saints of God? I tell you right now, I like to hear from Shannon Whip. I like for him to call me and email me, and I like to see him and stuff. You know, I really do. You know what I'm saying? It gives me strength and courage to be around Shannon Whip. Do you understand what I mean? I'm not just singling him out. Okay, well anyway, now. So, people reject, well-meaning people, who reject the idea that God would be a discriminating God in eternal matters, don't have any trouble believing that He chose the Jews as a nation. They'll accept that. You all hear me? They don't mind that. They like the fact that God chose the Jews as a nation. And they don't mind the fact that God chooses men to be preachers. They don't mind that. They don't mind that God chooses men to be evangelists. They don't mind that. So they'll give God the credit, so to speak, for being a discriminating God here in time. God can make choices right here in time. But boy, it's terrible to think that God made a choice in eternity. That's a ditch. That's a ditch. That is not right. And that is not the way the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ taught a discriminating God. Now then, there's a ditch over here on the other side of the road. Concerning this. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ taught a discriminating, sovereign, decision-making God. Hallelujah. In fact, I tell you right now, He'll help you make your decisions. In fact, I tell you right now, if you read this Bible, it'll help you make decisions. Now, it will not tell you what job to take, but it'll tell you the parameters under which to make that decision. Sure it will. Isn't that great? I don't want to have to make those decisions by myself. The other ditch over here is there are people, and Primitive Baptists probably have more trouble with this. Primitive Baptists don't have a bit of trouble accepting the fact that God is sovereign in making eternal decisions. And I'm proud of that. I say I'm proud of that. I'm thankful for that. Here's one we might have a little trouble with. There are people that don't have any trouble accepting the fact that God makes decisions and He's a sovereign God. And He's discriminating God when it comes to eternal matters, but they have a little bit of trouble understanding that God makes decisions about us right here and now. And God's a sovereign God. That means God makes decisions. Do you realize what that means? That means you don't tell God what to do. And as I heard one lady say one time, and I'll never forget this, I trust, what do you want with a God you can boss around anyway? You don't want a God like that you can boss around. I'm serious. I mean, you know, if you can boss Him around, He's just not God. People won't boss God around, though. Isn't that something? Okay, it is crazy, isn't it? Lord help us. But so now, in other words, it's hard for us. You've got to confess it. It's a little hard for us to accept the fact that God can choose to do something for us or not do it for us. Right? And you know, sometimes those decisions are hard on us, aren't they? And y'all, unless you're not like me, and I don't want you to be like me in a lot of ways, but I imagine you're like me in this way, in that you wonder. And the decisions that God makes or does not make, and the fact that He may intervene in a situation or He may not, right? He may remove a situation or He may not remove a situation. And you may be in a problem and the Lord may leave you in there. Do you understand what I'm saying? God makes these sovereign choices. Incidentally, I am absolutely not teaching fatalism. I deny the idea that God causes all things whatsoever come to pass. That's heresy. I deny it. I'll forever deny it, I guess, as long as I've got a mind. But I will tell you right now, God is involved in the daily lives of His children.
Amen.
And aren't you happy He is?
Amen.
Oh, I tell you right now, I have such trouble sometimes making it through life, even with a family like I've got, and with friends, and with a church home, and with a God guiding me. I have such trouble anyway. I don't know how people make it without all that. Oh, I tell you right now, since I said that, I'll tell you, if you're not a member of the Lord's church, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Come, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest to your souls. That's not only an invitation of the Lord, that's a commandment. You'll be better off if you'll do that. You surely will. So, the Lord sometimes, you know, makes decisions in our lives, doesn't He? To do a thing or not to do a thing. And I'm going to be honest with you, there's going to be a lot of times, we're not going to be able to understand why the Lord does what He does or does not do what He does. But I tell you what let's do. Let's depend on Him as our Lord. Let us trust Him and the decisions that He does or does not make. I tell you, when I think about old Job, I just get amazed at Job after all the things happened to him. And they, you know, his family's gone and his wealth is gone and so much. And finally Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I tell you, let's trust the Lord. He may not deliver you from the problem you're in. Right? He may. Trust Him. I want you to know the Lord knows what you need more than you do.
Amen.
Doesn't He? God be praised, the Lord was a sovereign God in eternal matters. I need to read some here, don't I? God's a sovereign God when it comes to eternal matters. And here's the way I look at it. I believe there was a covenant of grace that took place before the foundation of the world. And the only three people that were there were God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God be praised. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And in that covenant of grace, they decided, so to speak. Now that's probably a technical inaccuracy. Because I think God always intended to save His elect. I think that was always in God's mind. God never changed His mind about that. God was always loving the elect. Can you imagine a God that had you in mind in eternity past? You! I'm telling you, God named names in the covenant of grace. He chose His people out of every kindred, tribe, tongue, and family under heaven. And I also am going to deny to my dying day, if the Lord will give me strength, that that's a small, pitiful handful of people, God forbid. And I'm going to tell you something else. It's not just the Primitive Baptists. I'm going to tell you something else. It's not just Americans. And I'll tell you something else. It's not just Christians. I hope you say amen to that. There's going to be people in heaven and immortal glory who've never set foot in any church. There's going to be people in heaven and immortal glory for whom Christ died, shed His blood, bore the wrath of God that never were exposed to any Christian doctrine. Mark it down. And now, if that gives you problems, I'm sorry. That's the truth of God's Word if I understand it. And I glory in it because here's what it took to save you. The blood of Christ. The blood of Christ. And it saved His people. Jesus Christ's atoning work did not make salvation a possibility for anybody. It made salvation a reality for all of the elect family of God. Isn't that just, I mean, that's as good a news as I know to tell you. Okay, where was I going with that? I was saying that God made a decision about eternal matters. I'm using the term made a decision with discretion, you understand. They made a covenant of grace, and Jesus Christ, by the way, God the Father chose Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is called the elect, the book of Isaiah. God chose Jesus Christ to be the one to come down here and be the sin bearer. Jesus Christ agreed to that in the covenant of grace. He said, I'm going to come down and take upon myself the likeness of sinful flesh. I'm going to be made likened to a man, sin accepted. And I'm going to talk more about that probably Sunday morning if my mind doesn't change about what Jesus Christ did. And he did all of that to save his people from their sins. And he didn't ask their opinion in the matter. And you better be glad, because if he had asked your opinion, you wouldn't have wanted it. Now think about it just a minute. Boy, do I need your prayers. But see, here's the thing. You just ask a person that's perfectly happy in their situation, that's perfectly happy drinking sin and iniquity like water. You just ask that person if they want to have another nature that conflicts with the one they've got and gives them a complication the rest of the days of their life. What are they going to say? You're out of your mind. Leave me happy. Leave me where I am. Drinking iniquity like water and loving it every minute. You understand? Aren't you glad salvation's for grace? Boy, I tell you right now, if it's any other way, we're lost. Okay, so the Lord made that decision, what I'm trying to tell you. The Lord Jesus Christ taught that. But the Lord also makes a decision in our daily lives. I guess I better read, huh? It would be good if I read. Turn to John. John chapter, I believe it's 10. Yeah, John chapter 10, my brothers and sisters. John 10. I want you to know Jesus Christ taught a discriminating God, and he taught a discriminating God concerning eternal matters. He also taught a discriminating God concerning timely matters. We need to see how these are both taught in the Bible and how they connect and weave together the doctrine of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I submit to you, we should be teaching these things just like Christ taught them. Brothers and sisters, if Christ taught something, let's be teaching it. Now I'm going to mention something here that I wasn't going to mention. Did you know Jesus Christ taught some things about even giving money?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's a pretty radical idea right there. I'm glad somebody said amen, because you say that some places you get thrown out. I'm serious. There are a lot of people who don't want to know that Christ said something about giving money. Sorry. I'm just as sorry as I know how to be. Jesus Christ taught some things about that. Well, you should be keenly interested in what Christ said about that. You should be keenly interested in what Christ said about lots of things. Anything Christ said, we ought to be interested in. And then along came the apostles, like I said last night, and taught exactly the same things that Christ taught, and expand them further. And God gave the apostles authority to bind and loose the church. And what that means is to command them to do things, or to tell them there's things they didn't have to do. That's what that means! Christ gave the apostles authority to do that! And since I said that, let me also say this. Churches don't have to walk in lockstep. Hear me? I've been in churches that pass the plate. I've been in churches that don't pass the plate. I've been in churches where they use the WAD method. Y'all remember the WAD method?
Yes.
The WAD method. That's where they take the money, wad it up, and hand it to you sneaky-like.
Yes.
I've been in churches with stained glass windows. I've been in churches with no windows. I've been in churches where they use songbooks that have notes, some that don't. I've been in churches where they line songs, churches where they don't. I've been in lots of different places. Guess what? They're all Primitive Baptist churches. We don't have to walk in lockstep. Mercy sakes. But these doctrines are of critical and utmost importance. And I want that understood. Jesus Christ taught some things here in John chapter 10, which I need to read, concerning God's eternal and discriminating decisions that he made. Now, I want to say this before I read here. Boy, howdy. So much introduction, very little reading. Adam sinned. Y'all agree with that?
Amen.
And all of the human race were in Adam. In Adam, all die. All in Adam die. Well, as a result of that sin, of course, according to Romans, God passed judgment upon all men to condemnation. That meant that as a result of what Adam did, listen, not as a result of what you did, as a result of what Adam did, every human being deserved to burn in hell forever. As a result of what Adam did. Guess what that means? Listen to me. That means you do not have to transgress the law of God to deserve to burn in hell forever. You hear me? You do not have to transgress the law of God yourself, personally transgress the law of God to deserve to burn in hell forever. Your nature that you got from Adam commands that you burn in hell forever unless someone has suffered in your room instead. Now what I said all of that to say was Adam's sin and the consequent fall of the entire human race into condemnation did not in any way obligate God to do anything about it. You want to know why? He's sovereign. You understand me? A sovereign cannot be coerced. God is sovereign. He didn't have to save anybody. And if he had saved no one, everyone would have gotten what they deserved. Don't be saying you want what you deserve. Mercy sakes. But what God did, he chose to save. He didn't have to. Now, do y'all believe that was a sovereign decision God made? I'm using the word decision loosely. God made a sovereign decision. He chose to save. He didn't have to. He chose to. Glory be to God. A lot of people get mad when you start talking about a sovereign God in this way. Election, because they think you're just talking about a little handful. Absolutely not. And part of why they think that, they think that only people that are Christians are going to go to heaven. Well, I'm not talking about that practicing Christians. You understand what I mean now, don't you? I know you got to be born again to go to heaven. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people that are practicing Christians. There's going to be people that are born again people that never practice Christianity. Sure. There's a little hot-and-tot Bushmen in Africa today that are born again children of God that will go to heaven that have never heard a word of gospel. I want that clearly understood. I want you to know I believe it even if you don't. That is what I believe. I believe the Bible teaches that. Tell me how in the round world did John the Baptist get born again in his mother's womb if that isn't true? How in the round world was David made to hope on his mother's breast? How is Jeremiah born again in his mother's womb called to be a prophet if that isn't true? Oh, I love to think about it. Okay, now, but anyway, so God made this sovereign decision, is what I'm trying to tell you, in order to save people, chose whom to save, and he did it. And all this was decided, so to speak, before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1 and 4, Romans 8. I love to think about it. It's something worth thinking about. Anyway, now, here we are in John. I'm going to read a little bit here in John 10, because Jesus Christ is here teaching a discriminating God. He says in John 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Does that include goats? It does not. It's sheep. Now, Matthew, let me refer you to Matthew chapter 25, which teaches us what's going to happen at the end of time. The Lord is going to separate his sheep. I love that adjective. His sheep. His, they are his. They're his by choice. They're his by redemption. They're his by regeneration. They're his. He's going to separate his sheep from the goats. Now, my opinion, and I believe this is biblically accurate, there are more sheep than goats. In fact, I believe the sheep are the vast majority of the human race. I believe the sheep are the vast majority of the human race. I don't believe there's going to be little piddly people up in heaven. I believe there's going to be a vast host that no man can number. In Revelation it says 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. That's 100 million plus. That's what it is. I love it, don't you? I believe Christ is going to have the preeminence in this way as well. Lord, though, here said, I lay down my life for the sheep. That's discriminatory, isn't it, brethren? All right, I'll skip on down. I'm going fast here. As the Father knoweth me, even verse 15, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Right there it is. These are the teachings of Jesus Christ. Jesus came here to die for the sheep. He knew who he was coming to die for. He died for it. Saved every one of them. He's not going to lose any of them. I hope you believe that. He's not going to lose them. Now, y'all, there is such a thing as a lost sheep. You listening? That doesn't say a lost goat. That says a lost sheep. That's not the same thing as an unregenerate person. A lost sheep. Let me tell you, there's a lot of lost sheep in your community right here. God's children, that's what I mean, that are lost to truth, lost in error, gone astray, involved in no telling what, lost sheep. And may I also say to you lovingly, Brother Shannon rehearsed my sermon this morning. He did a better job preaching than I did. He's amazing. He really did. He put it all in a nutshell. I was having trouble doing that. Isn't he great? If you love Brother Shannon, yes, you are, Brother Shannon. If you love Brother Shannon, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I love him too. You know, he embarrassed me, I'll embarrass him. That's not so. But he rehearsed my sermon pretty good, talking about we ought to be other-oriented. Now, listen to me very carefully. Please listen to me very carefully. Primitive Baptists are going to have to learn a lesson about being other-oriented to people other than primitive Baptists. I want us to learn that lesson. Now, we need to be other-oriented and serve each other, but can I tell you, you should have a very fervent desire to reach out to those that are outside the camp. The lost sheep that are out there, did not the good shepherd go to get the one lost sheep? There were 99 in the fold. This is a lesson we need to learn as primitive Baptists. And it's getting better. It's getting better, but I want us to continue to reach out. I hope the day will come you got to build a new meeting house. Wouldn't that be great? You know what I'm talking about. Boy, I tell you, so the Lord said, I came down to lay my life down for the sheep. Skip down to verse 27. I was going to read all this to you, but I'm out of time already. I'm not completely out of time, though. I'll look at the clock, okay? I'll look at the clock. Verse 26. Now, I would never say this to people, but the Lord knew people. Did you know the Lord knew? He knew what was in man. We're in one place. The Lord knew exactly who. The Lord knew when he was talking to an unregenerate and when he was talking to regenerate. I don't always know that. The Lord knew it. The Lord knew who was elected, who wasn't. We don't. And it's a good thing we don't. Don't try to figure out who's elect and who isn't. Now you can see the evidence of people that are elect, but I'm going to tell you right now, a non-elect person, they look mean and everything, but a child of God can look just about as mean as a non-elect person. Yes, they can. I've got it in the Bible. Don't tell me they can't. What would you have thought of David when he was doing what he was doing to get rid of Uriah? What would you have thought of him? What would you have thought of, shall I say, Lot at the end of his life in the cave and his daughters with child by their father? What would you have thought of him? And the scripture tells explicitly in the New Testament that he was a born-again child of God. So let us forget trying to decide who's born-again children of God. Let's just preach the gospel, let the Lord sort them out. That's what I think we ought to do. Preach the gospel, let the Lord sort them out, and that's just the way to do it. Now, the Lord said here, though, he said to these people in verse 26, he said, ye believe not because you're not of my sheep. You can't get any plainer than that. The Lord said, you are not of my sheep. Now, I'm not going to say that to people, but the Lord had the authority to say it. And I'm glad that's in the Bible. The Lord is here teaching a discriminating God. These are the words of our Lord and Savior. He told him, you're not of my sheep. He didn't tell him, here's what you got to do to get to be of my sheep. He said, you're not of my sheep. Discriminating God. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them. Give unto them. Give unto them. Now, I've never been here before, so I'm going to say something I've said in many places. Give unto them eternal life. Give it unto them. Now, I got any of you hunters out there get a Cabela's catalog and it makes your mouth water. I get a Cabela's catalog once in a while and I look at all that stuff and I want it. Don't need it more than a horse. And here's a coupon I clipped out of there. It said, start earning free gear today. Start earning free gear. Earn free stuff. That's crazy. Earn free stuff. I'm telling you, if you got to earn it, it isn't free. Now, I could give Shannon Whip $100 if I had it. That Brother Shannon wants that $100. And you know what? If I took a $100 bill and I laid it up here, and this is scattered all over, this is like hash browns at Waffle House scattered. But anyway, if I took a $100 and I laid it up here and said, Brother Shannon, I give you this $100. I'm making you a gift of this $100, brother. It's your $100. That is Shannon Whip's $100 if he never comes up here and gets it. It's his $100 if he never gets any good out of it. Y'all hear me? He said, I know my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, they follow me, and I give unto them. I want that as clear as I can make it. I give unto them eternal life. And eternal life, by definition, cannot stop. It cannot end. If it stops, it wasn't eternal. If the Lord gives you eternal life today and it ends tomorrow, or it ends 100 years from now, or if it ends 20 billion years from now, if it ever ends, it wasn't eternal. How many of you sisters go get a permanent in your hair? I don't want one willing to confess it. Well, how permanent is it when you got to go next month to get another one? They should be called temporaries. You don't get a permanent. Now, you sisters go get a permanent if you want. I'm not preaching against getting a permanent. I don't understand. I'm not against women getting permanents and looking pretty. I like it when my wife looks pretty. Stands for me, I look better. But it's not a permanent, is it? You got to get another one next month. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life. And in case you don't know what that meant, he said, and they shall never perish. Isn't that great? Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand, so forth. I, my Father, are one. He's talking about the sheep there. The Lord is there explicitly teaching. I don't know how you get any plainer than that. These are the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, teaching a discriminating God when it comes to eternal matters. God chose to save, and He chose whom to save, and we ought to be thanking God every day of our lives that He did so. But I also want you to know that Jesus taught a discriminating God in timely matters, and boy howdy, my time is quickly passing here, but I want you to know that He did. Jesus Christ taught a discriminating God in timely matters as well. Now let me say to you again, I am not advocating fatalism. I do not believe in fatalism, but I do believe in the providence of God. I believe that God is at work in our lives sometimes, y'all, in fact, a lot of time, maybe even most of the time, when we don't even know it. Can I ask you, can you look back on your life and see God weaving your life and look back and know that you didn't even know it when He was doing it? That's the providence of God. God be praised that He's involved in our lives to that degree. I feel like I'd be destroyed if it weren't for the Lord. Destroyed! So the Lord also taught a discriminating God when it comes to timely matters. Look at Luke chapter 4 right quick, and I'm going to go fast here. I got to find it. Okay, Luke chapter 4. Turn to Luke chapter 4 right quick. And people got mad at the Lord when He taught this doctrine. Well, the Lord is here talking to Jews, by the way. And Jews were about pharisaical as you could get. They thought they were it. They had it all figured out, and if you want to know the answer, come ask us. Isn't that something? Here's what the Lord said. These are the words of our blessed Lord. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days. I'm in Luke 4, verse 25. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months. Y'all remember that story? When great famine was throughout all the land. By the way, do you realize what Jesus Christ is also teaching here, incidentally, is the absolute historical accuracy of Scripture? Jesus said, okay, the Bible says over there was 3.5 year drought. Consequently, I believe it. 3.5 year drought. Remember this story? Elijah prayed that it would not rain for 3 years, 6 months, and it didn't. Now, here's what I want to ask you. How bad would it have been? Brother Shannon was telling me about the drought you've had here and east of here, and it's been bad maybe, but can you imagine how bad it'd be? No rain due for 3 years or 6 months. How bad would it be? Any crops, reckon? And then, in addition to that, think how bad it would be for a poor widow with no husband. And then think about how bad it would be for many widows. The Lord says here, in this verse, Luke 4 and 25, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elias. Many widows. But, verse 26, unto none of them was Elias sent, save, that means except, unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. What's he teaching? A discriminating God. In timely matters. Let me ask you, did the other widows need help? Sure they did. Why did God not send the prophet over there? You're going to have to ask God. Because I don't know. All I know is what the Bible teaches. What's God's reason? I don't know God's reasons. His mind is higher than mine. That's what I was trying to tell you earlier on. We may not ever be able to figure out why God does what He does. Let us just accept it when He does it. Or accept it when He doesn't do it. Now, I know that's hard. I have trouble with that myself. But this is the lesson the Lord's trying to teach here. A lot of widows over there. The Lord only sent a prophet to one widow. And then remember with the story of that? By the time Elijah got over there, what were they doing? She had one little bit of cornmeal, one little bit of oil, and she and her boy were out there gathering up sticks. They're going to cook that last little bit. And that was it. After that, they were going to starve to death. She said, after this, we're going to die. And the prophet comes up, and what does he say? He was crazy. He says, make me a little cake first. By the way, that kind of puts the care of a pastor on a high priority, doesn't it? What would you have said? What would you have said to Elijah in exactly those circumstances? 3.5 year drought, you're a widow woman, last bit of cornmeal, last bit of oil, and the prophet comes up and has the gall to say, make me a little cake first. Just let that soak in. What would you have said? The woman did what she was told. And by the way, that wasn't... Elijah didn't say, if you want to. She did what she was told, and as a result, the meal barrel never went empty. The cruise of oil never ran out. Do you understand what she's... The miracle she saw as a result of what she did? I wonder what kind of miracles we might see if we got a little more serious about the support of our ministry in this land and country. That's just an incidental, that's an incidental lesson that goes in there. But I want you to see what God is saying here through the mouth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the Lord only sent the prophet to one of those widows. All the none of the rest of the widows got that particular blessing. You're going to say, mean old God? You better not. You better say what a blessing God sent to that one. And if God doesn't want to bless you with something, that's God's business. God has not, you know, there's lots of things I wish the Lord would bless me with. I wish I had a smooth, suave preaching style. Like Ronald Lawrence or somebody, you know. Or I wish I had a, you know, I wish I was softer spoken. I mean to be a Brother Box, I'll just be honest with you. I've enjoyed staying with the Boxes so much, and Brother Box is so soft spoken. And I'm so loud and obnoxious. Brother Box is soft spoken. I wish I was more like him. You know what I'm saying? Everybody wishes they had something right. I bet the women that have curly hair wish it was straight. The women that have straight hair wish it was curly, if I know anything about human nature. Hey, what let's do. And maybe you've got a gift that God has given you. Maybe you've got a gift. In fact, I would go on record saying you probably have a gift. And maybe you wish you had somebody else's gift. Well, use the one you got. Thank God you got it and use it. Right? Because God gives gifts. Sovereignly. It took me a long time to figure out God called Gary Harvey to preach. Warts and all. So to speak. You understand me? I know, I'm not telling you that this is the easiest thing to recognize, but we got to recognize it. God is a sovereign God. Here he only sent, and then he talks about naming the leper. Said there were lots of lepers in Israel in the time of Elias. Lots of lepers, but none of them was cleansed except Naaman. Well, what are we going to say? Mean old God? That he didn't cleanse all the rest of them? You better not. Recognize that God is a sovereign, discriminating God, even in timely matters. Do you understand me now? I think God gives some people the power to get well. Some people don't have the power to get well. Some people have more money than others. Some people have, you know how it is? Some people have musical talent, some don't. Don't argue with God! Well, you know what happened to the Lord here? And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, verse 28, were filled with wrath. And by the way, these were the very Jews that believed in electing God. They believed that God chose them, but they weren't willing to accept this doctrine about a discriminating God. Isn't it something the way we are? And they rose up and they thrust him out of the city and led him into the brow of the hill whereupon the city was built. And they were going to cast him down headlong. They were going to get rid of him. But it didn't work out too pretty good, did it? Okay. I want you to know our Lord and Savior. These are the doctrines of our Lord and Savior. I want you to understand that. These are the teachings of our Lord. He taught a discriminating God in eternal matters. He taught a discriminating God in timely affairs. And may we, as His loyal subjects, accept and rejoice in the both of them. Come ahead, Brother Shannon. Thank you for your wonderful attention. What a great congregation you are.